SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we got 6 days before the big game. One more NFL heavyweight title fight here between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Great storylines up and down with this one. Anytime you can get a second crack at the apple against the same team that left you disappointed just a couple of years ago. The Eagles are in prime position to be able to exact a little bit of revenge, but can they? Because nobody else seems to have been able to take down good old Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and we will be live all week on location from Radio Row in New Orleans, so we'll have all the latest for you all week long leading up to the Sunday heavyweight fight. But in the meantime, we got plenty of other things going on and some other storylines that don't involve the Lakers and Luka Doncic, including Rory McIlroy. Wow, will you look at that? We found a tournament he can actually win because it's, oh, that's right, it's not a major. Brady Cannon in the house stepping in. And I got to tell you, Brady, you just kind of had a feeling watching him on Saturday, and then, you know, Sunday comes around, guys are chipping in from all over the place on the Sunday round, and he is methodically just nailing putts, putting it within 10 feet, and he just, that back nine, he played out of his mind, put it away, and nobody was catching him. That's vintage Rory. Are we going to get more of that? Is there reason to believe we can get more of that this year and he finally breaks the drought of majors?
I kind of hope so, Joe. I think it's great. I mean, you know, Rory is so smart, and, you know, I think it's really cool to hear him talk about winning at what he called one of golf's cathedrals. You know, I thought that was a great description, one of the iconic venues in the entire world, that being, of course, Pebble Beach. And, you know, Pebble Beach was kind of kicked under the rug for many years. You know, it was a certainly a star spot on the schedule when it was back. You know, it was the Crosby and Bing Crosby, and you had, you know, a week before that, you had Bob Hope, and, you know, that was really kind of, you know, Arnold Palmer's time and whatever. And then in kind of the last 15 years or so, you didn't have all these big names coming to play at Pebble. Well, now the last 2 years, they've turned it into a signature event. So Rory shows up and Scotty shows up. And you and I talked about Justin Rose. This guy, he's won, yeah, you know, he won at Pebble just a few years ago, and he was right there in the mix again on Sunday. And so it was cool to see Rory and not only Rory, but also Pebble Beach, the golf course, kind of shine with all the stars and all the top players in the world, and you know, to see this golf course really take on a great field and have a great week where the weather was kind of all over the place. One day it was nice, one day it was windy, one day it was raining, and a pretty cool golf tournament to see these guys tested in a lot of different ways and a lot of different conditions. And, you know, the big question, Joe, is does this translate into Rory having a good year? I hope so. But the bigger question, does it translate into Rory winning the Masters? Ah, gosh, yeah. Is it ever going to happen? You know, I mean, he's been close a couple of times. It just, you know, you make an example of how he tore it up on the back nine. He launched a drive about 500 yards on the 14th hole, had like a 7-iron in and hit a 25-foot bomb for eagle. I think when Rory can dominate a golf course like that and overpower a course, I think that's where he really flourishes. And I don't think he can really do that at Augusta National. It takes so much creativity and such a sense of scrambling around the greens. I just don't know if it's – I think when Rory McIlroy is playing his best, he can win anywhere, anytime. But I really don't think Augusta National is the best fit for Rory McIlroy's game.
Well, and I think with Rory, it's always been mind over matter. It's never been a lack of talent. He can hit the ball with he's got all the tools. The problem with Rory is Rory above the shoulders. Sometime we saw it last year, right? At the US Open, where I think he even admitted it. that he, it just above the shoulders, he wasn't there. He got he got into his head, and then that was the end of it. And he actually quoted saying, you know, he's taking a page out of Scottie Scheffler's book. And man, when Rory is saying, I want to be more like Scotty, who, great, by the way, I mean, just fantastic way to come out his first tournament of the year after the surgery and the accident with the hand and all of that good stuff. Played very well Saturday and Sunday. He is obviously the favorite heading into the Waste Management Open this week, and deservedly so, but you mentioned it. What is that number that he is a favorite here at this tournament?
You know, I just started diving into this handicap a couple of hours ago, and the odds dip. They don't populate here in Las Vegas until about 5 p.m. local time, which is about an hour from now. And sometimes it's even a little bit later than that. But getting ready to pop on here with you, I just popped up FanDuel. Plus 280, Scottie Scheffler. My goodness, we're not even getting plus 450 or 5-1 like we were last week. Now it's plus 280. That I guess, you know, Rory's not in the field. We don't have quite the same star power that we did last week at Pebble. But, you know, Justin Thomas, Matsuyama, Sung Jae-im, Sam Burns, Tom Kim. That's one of the beauties as bettors. When Scotty's in the field, all these other guys are like at 40-1. You know, I mean, Sam Burns at 25-1, that's not too bad. Tom Kim at 35, that's not too bad. I bet Scottie Scheffler here last year. And with about six holes to go, he became the in-game favorite, I want to say at about minus 250, and then was not able to get it done. One of the few times all season that he was not able to shut the door. Sahith Theegala, Nick Taylor eventually got it done and took home the trophy here. But Scotty has finished seventh, third, and won this event twice. So I understand why he's the favorite. And when I'm crunching all my stats here, he's tops on every list that I'm running here. So I get it, but I don't think I can go to the window with that price. If I was getting plus 450 or 5-1, I might land on him. But I don't think I can at less than 3-1 this week.
No, but good news is, again, I think he had one round in the 70. I think he shot 70 on Friday, but every other round, sub 70. He went 69, 67 on Saturday and Sunday. So he looks in pretty good shape for a guy that we haven't seen out on the golf course in a minute and had to have hand surgery of all things there, Brady. Yeah. So, but I think we all agree with him. Is that flat stick working? It looked pretty good this past weekend. And if it is, I don't know anybody, T to green, that if he's putting, maybe that's not high enough. Maybe that's not low enough at plus 2-1.
Well, you know, it's funny. I won with him back in December, kind of a silly season event, the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. You know, 20 guys are in the field. It's a Tiger Woods Invitational. Yep. And I'm like, Scottie Scheffler against 19 other guys? Yeah, I don't care what the price is. I played it at plus 225. And one odds maker out here in town said it should have been minus 225. And maybe plus 280 is a good price here. It's hard to get to the window with that. But yeah, I mean, he's won here twice. He's got two other top 10 finishes. We know he's the premier ball striker on the planet. And that's exactly what this tournament is about, ball striking. And this is a preferred surface. We go from Poana last week, which he probably doesn't like as much, to now Bermuda surface here, which he's more used to and familiar with. Absolutely. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk on Wednesday, Joe, and I'll be clearly on Scottie Scheffler to win this thing. Not yet.
Yeah, well, you know it's happening. I mean, we all know that's happening, Brady. All right, Brady, I want to get some of your football props. We'll talk about that next here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. We appreciate you stopping by as we're getting ready for the big game here on Sunday. Eagles versus the Chiefs, and of course, Sports Grid on location in New Orleans at Radio Row all week. We'll be bringing you the latest information, some great interviews lined up all week long. We will truly have our finger on the pulse of what is happening in New Orleans for this big game. And Brady Cannon, it's certainly priced like it's going to be a good game. Doesn't always mean we're going to get a good game, but the market is pretty much telling us, it feels like another one score game, just like 2 years ago. Only it feels a little bit different because I don't think the offenses are as good as they were 2 years ago, but I think the defenses are better than they were a couple of years ago. Where have you started to lean with this game come on Sunday?
Yeah, I think my initial lean is with the Eagles. I think that defense is going to cause problems for, like you say, an offense that I don't think is as good with Kansas City. They really don't have much of a running game at all. Now, I think that's going to force Mahomes into passing situations and scrambling situations, which obviously he can be very successful navigating. But I just think eventually, you know, I believe it's 47 of the last 58 Super Bowls have been won by the better defense. And Philadelphia has the better defense. Now, Kansas City's defense is no slouch. But I think the X factor is Saquon, because Philadelphia obviously does have a running game and they have a pretty darn good passing game as well, not only with Smith and A.J. Brown, but with Dallas Goedert as well. So, I mean, I think they have enough weapons through the air. And then, of course, they have the home run hitter in the backfield. And so I think they're very difficult to defend, where I think in the case of Kansas City, Philadelphia can make them more one-dimensional. You know, and you can sit here and handicap this stuff all you want. And I think it was the similar situation 2 years ago against the Eagles. And I think it was similar last year against the 49ers, where we felt, and I think I feel again this year, that Philadelphia is the better team. I felt San Francisco last year is the better team. And I remember saying it to a mutual friend, Las Vegas Chris. I said, Chris, the better quarterback beat the better team. And, you know, it just seems to happen. Every time we turn around, there he is, you know, Superman putting on his cape, Harrison Butker kicking a field goal as time runs out and the Chiefs win again by the skin of their teeth. I could see that happening. I think you're going to have very sharp people on both sides of the fence here. We spoke with them, Adam and I, over the weekend, Adam Kaufman and I on our weekend show. We did both Saturday and Sunday. We spoke with Bill Krakenberger. He likes the Chiefs. We spoke with Paul Bovey. He likes the Eagles. We spoke with Rob Pozzola. He likes the Chiefs. And we spoke with one other gentleman. I'm missing who it was exactly, but it was dead split, 2-2, Eagles and Chiefs. So I don't really think there is a definitive side that I like in this game. And Adam and I were saying, I may just end up walking into this game without a play on the side. I'll have a pocket full of prop bets for sure, but I may end up just betting this thing in game. And that sounds like a cop-out answer, but like you say, Joe, the odds makers are telling us that they expect this to be close. And I think it was kind of similar to what we saw with the Bills and the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. If I can in game where I'm getting +3.5 on the Chiefs at some point and also +3.5 on the Eagles at some point, bang, I'm going to hit submit and watch the rest of the game comfortably. I think I can fall within that window.
Yeah, it is. And I think the prop market is fascinating too, depending on how you think this game is going to play out. And, you know, I don't necessarily believe that Kansas City has to sell out to stop Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon can get his yards. They just can't let him break a 70-yard touchdown. Like, he can't be that kind of difference maker. If he wants to, you know, get 3-4 yards, 5 yards, I think they're more than happy to do that, but they're not going to let him take it to the house, and you can't let him beat you with those kinds of big plays. The question is, are we fading him because we know the public is going to want everything over with Saquon? Is it smart to look the other way with him?
That's a great question, and we were talking quite a bit about that over the weekend, and I mentioned Bill Krakenberger, professional sports bettor. He has already unloaded on the under 25.5 yards will be the longest rush for Saquon Barkley, and that's risky business because he's done it more than a handful of times already this season. But his point was, if this was anybody else other than what this guy is doing this year, that number would be 19.5. or 18 and a half or 17 and a half. The fact that it's 25 and a half yards is a really big chunk run. And to your point, you got to believe the Chiefs, they don't mind the 3, 4, 5 yard carries. They don't want the 25, 30, 40 yard carry. So there's a guy that, you know, makes a lot of money in this industry, and I respect his opinion taking the under. I thought this one was very interesting too, Joe. We know that has to be a main focus of the Kansas City defense. How about Saquon Barkley's very first rushing attempt? Under or over 3.5 yards? The over is minus 130. The under is plus 110. What do you do with that one? If they're so locked in on this guy, is he going to gain 4 yards on that first carry?
Well, I keep going back to that number too, which is obnoxious, right? The fact that Spagnuolo's defenses have gone 18 straight games without giving up a 100-yard rush. 18.
Amazing.
And they have faced some quality, running backs in that spot. So, you know, if I'm Sirianni, obviously, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I'm wondering if he gets used more in the passing game with Kellen Moore than that, because I think it's one of the more underrated aspects of his game is his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Maybe that's a great prop bet to lean on. You know, his longest reception will be such and such yards or number of receptions.
Yes, because I think, listen, it's no secret. Put the ball in the hands of your best players. I think Xavier Worthy, he'll probably get rushes. And the fastest guy in the thing, put it in Saquon's hand and figure out ways for him to get involved. Brady, always a pleasure. Looking forward to hearing who you have this week at the Waste Management. We'll have more as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here as we continue to get ready for the big game on Sunday. We welcome back in our good friend here, Brady Cannon, because we were just talking props here for the big game, Brady. And, you know, I'm not sure. I love when you get the ball in the hands of your best players. Don't overthink it. Andy Reid doesn't do that. We saw it with Tyreek Hill. We've seen him get creative to put the ball in the hands of guys like Xavier Worthy. Now, Hollywood Brown, maybe. And I think Philadelphia is going to do the same thing. And if it's not necessarily rushing, it's not like Saquon Barkley can't catch the ball. I think his receiving yards is probably not being looked at enough as a possibility for this game. What are some of the other props you're looking at for us here?
Well, yeah, in the last segment, you mentioned Xavier Worthy, and I saw a proposition bet with him that I think is thought-provoking. The number is really interesting. A good prop, a good number is when you can kind of make a case for both sides, right? Longest reception by Xavier Worthy, 20 and a half yards, minus 110 either way, over or under. 20 and a half yards, longest reception. So that could even be kind of a jet sweep thing where they pitch it to him and he, you know, turns the corner and goes for 20 plus yards. I mean, you talked about how dynamic he is. Get the ball in the hands of your best players. I think it's easy to think about going over with that one, but, you know, 20 and a half yards, that's a good chunk. Again, like I say, I think you could make a case for either side there.
Yep, I agree. And I'll tell you the other thing, too, is he seems to be a forgotten piece here, but is DeAndre Hopkins not worth taking a flyer on? He's got, what's his reception prop? 1.5? I mean, his yard prop is next to nothing. He seems to have been a forgotten guy. This is a guy that, you know, push comes to shove. If you're not paying attention to him, he could very well have a big part in what goes on here.
Well, how about this? This is at the Westgate Superbook here in Las Vegas. Will DeAndre Hopkins score a touchdown? The yes is plus 650. The no is minus 1,000. But I agree with you. You know, they got to mix it up a little bit. We haven't seen this guy in a month of Sundays. it could be the time to, you know, put a couple bucks on the plus 650 because you have to change it up. Here's one for you, Joe. You know, we love the cross sport parlays. And I think this is a really good one that again, will make you think, it'll make you handicap because the number should come out pretty darn close. So which is going to be higher? The total points scored in the football game, okay, the total in the football game, or Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is hosting the Philadelphia 76ers that afternoon, total points, rebounds, and assists. And the number that the last couple of times that Giannis has faced the 76ers, I think he had a 55 and a 46 points, rebounds, and assists. So he's right in that window where this football game total is. And Adam Kaufman and I were talking about this one over the weekend. We say if Joel Embiid doesn't play, I take Giannis as getting the higher number. Mm-hmm. Unless you think the football game's going to sail over the total. I mean, that's a good one. That one's going to be close.
Yep, that's a very good one. Plus, Milwaukee's in the midst of a losing streak right now. They're probably going to get boat raced again here tonight by Oklahoma City. So, yeah, they need to rack up some wins, and I would expect a big effort, Brady, on that one from Milwaukee and Giannis, who's actually sitting out tonight against OKC. So I love that one. And I'm wondering, is there any sort of cross sport parlay involving the waste management we can probably look at here too?
Yeah, there absolutely is. It'll be like, you know, what score does Justin Thomas shoot or something like that, you know, minus 5.5, you know, versus the total in the game, you know, how many birdies this guy makes, you know, versus how many, let's say, how many birdies does Thomas make versus how many catches Travis Kelce makes? Yeah, they will definitely involve the waste management. And it's right here in front of me in this manifesto. Look at this booklet from the West Game. This is 50 pages. It's double-sided. It's literally 100 pages worth of information.
Yep.
And I mean, it's like reading War and Peace to try and find a couple of $10 bets you want to make.
And I love it. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And I'm all for it. We'll have it all week for you here too as well. So going to be fun, Brady. I am looking forward to this game. I'm looking forward to a lot of the events we got coming up, including the Waste Management Open, in which we'll talk more about this week. Enjoy it, Brady. We'll see you again as Game Time Decisions continues here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time to Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Excited. It is a great week coming up here. Plenty of events, plenty of sports happening as we await the ultimate final NFL game of the season, which will crown a champion between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. But before we get to Sunday, boy, we got a lot of other stuff going on the hardwood, on the ice, and let's check in with our good friend Joe Madden and Tom Vecchio, who without a doubt have a Sports Millions pick'em for us here. What do you got tonight?
Happy Monday, everyone. Joe and Tom here. It's time to jump into our Sports Millions pick'ems. Now, we've had a crazy weekend in basketball, Tom. So I think we should turn to the hardwood today and look at these Sports Millions. Of course, Luka being traded, that's the buzz around the league. What are you thinking?
Yeah, we have so much going on across the NBA, trades over the weekend, the trade deadline coming up later this week, the Super Bowl coming up later this weekend. We'll certainly get into that, but we're starting off with basketball today. And I want to turn to Cade Cunningham, higher than 27.5 points. It's a great matchup going up against Atlanta, super high total, obviously. I've spoken about Cade Cunningham before in terms of the shot volume, his first All-Star night. He continues to pile up the points. And I love this matchup for him going up against Atlanta, a team I do not fear on defense. So I think he continues things to close out this stretch of the NBA strongly, and he'll push towards 30 points tonight. Very, very easy for him. What do you got?
I think that's a great way to go. And I'm going to look at the matchup tonight between the Orlando Magic and the Golden State Warriors. And I'm circling Steph Curry here for the Golden State Warriors. I really do think he needs to turn it up another notch if they're hoping to do anything here in the Western Conference. So I'm looking for Steph Curry to start turning it on and turning it on here tonight. Now over on Sports Millions, we are getting a point number of 26.5, and I will take that to the higher. I'm looking for him to come out strong versus a Orlando Magic team that in his career has had success. Actually, that higher number is only 23.5, Tom. This is where I'm going. He has to go higher than this because we look at him versus the Orlando Magic, and that number is 26.5 that he's averaging over 22 games. I was expecting to be looking at a 25-26 number out here, so really glad to see we're only at 23.5. Definitely to the higher is where I want to go with this one. I know the Magic can be strong on defense, but this team has been struggling, losing their last three. Steph is stronger at home, and I do think with Draymond Green probable to get out there on the court, he'll be feeding him, and Steph can go higher than 23.5 points tonight.
So we start off with some basketball. Today we'll hit some NHL tomorrow, more basketball. Football to close out the week should be a good one.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a great week out here. So you guys make sure you join us for some more Sports Millions Pick'ems.
Thanks so much, Joe. And yes, let's not forget, though, we also have the NBA Blitz'em for you as well at Sports Millions.
Enjoy Sports Millions Pick'ems, but hate making the picks yourself? Well, Sports Millions has you covered. Head on over and play Sports Millions Blitz'em right now and let the computer do the work. Go to sportsmillions.com/blitz'em to be able to win big prizes without having to make a single pick yourself. That's sportsmillions.com/blitz'em.
All right, great stuff there. Looking forward to it all week long here. A little something for everybody as we await and trek, of course, to Sunday, where it'll be all about crowning a champion in the final NFL game of the year as the Eagles looking to exact a little revenge on the Kansas City Chiefs, who got them, well, just a few short years ago. But I got some bad news for Eagle fans, and they're not going to want to hear this. But if I was going to look towards the Philadelphia Eagles winning this game, I would probably want to figure out whether or not Taylor Swift is going to be attending this game. And I'll tell you why. She has single-handedly been one of the best things that has happened to the Chiefs so far this year. Why? Well, the Chiefs have played 19 games this year, including the playoffs. Taylor Swift has attended 9 of those Chief games. You know how many games they've lost? 0. 9-0 with her in attendance, whether it be home, whether it be away. My goodness, that is the ultimate lucky charm right there with Taylor Swift in attendance. Now, I remember last year, there were some questions. I know she had a concert, I believe, overseas. Was it Japan? Was she going to be able to make it back in time for the game? And we were flight tracking her, I think. But eventually she ended up making it to the game. And wouldn't you know it, well, there you go. She ended up getting it. She was there for the win last year as well. So really good lucky charm. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, Chief. So I would make sure that she somehow shows up at this game so you can keep that streak rolling. 9-0 when Taylor Swift shows up at the games for the Chiefs. Will they make it a perfect 10-0? We're going to have to find out. Should be a good time here. And by the way, we've got much more coming up on the game all week long, as we've got boots on the ground in New Orleans. We're going to have interviews starting every day. And don't forget, Sports Millions. Now, I'm wondering if they have Taylor Swift on Sports Millions. One would have to find out there and take a look there. But I would not bet against it. I'm a big believer, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So it'll be interesting if she's there. We're going to have a lot of conversations about that all week long, in fact, on the ground in New Orleans, interviews all week with, I know, Scotty Farrell and of course, Gabe Morenci and the crew. They will, without a doubt, be nosing around trying to figure out as much of the inside info as possible for you guys. And beginning tomorrow morning on the early line, Ben Stevens and myself will be able to get you updated with live interviews, of course, directly from New Orleans. So as we get the info, you get the info. And that is what it's all about. Knowledge is power. It's also a pretty good way to make it a profitable week of the big game. Not to mention, don't forget, you big UFC card coming up on Saturday in Australia. A couple of championship fights there. The Waste Management Open on the PGA Tour, one of the more party venues on the PGA Tour. It's always a good time there in Arizona. That's going on this week. And before you know it, and I'm already starting to see it, don't forget, pitchers and catchers are reporting. That is correct. It will be Major League Baseball season before you know it. And in fact, there were still a couple of interesting things going on as far as that goes. And boy, I tell you, Alex Bregman's still not on a team yet, but it does look like the Detroit Tigers are looking in order to be able to make him a part of their lineup here. Not to mention they reunited, of course, with their former starter, Jack Flaherty. Now he looks like he is back there. But Bregman, my goodness, I mean, he was a guy that we all anticipated would have been one of the first couple of guys off the board, still available. He's also been one of the most productive third basemen in sports now for over a decade. We'll see if the Tigers can make a push this year and see if they can get it done. But we'll have much more on that because we're all looking forward to seeing Juan Soto in a Mets uniform. Are we not? No, we're not. All right, Game Time Decisions continues with a look at the NBA slate tonight here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we're getting ready, of course, for a big slate of games in the association tonight here. In fact, Atlanta and Detroit currently underway right now. That game knotted up at 44 apiece with about 9 minutes to go in the second quarter there. How about Washington on top of Charlotte? Charlotte was laying 5 points in that. Who is Charlotte to be laying points against anybody? But Washington taking it to Charlotte right now. And one of the games of the night, of course, was the Houston Rockets taking on the New York Knicks. That game just underway at Madison Square Garden, tied up at 6 apiece. The big game still to come in college basketball tonight centers around the Big 12, with two teams that are just going in the wrong direction, as Kansas at Fog Allen taking on Iowa State. Kansas coming off of the single biggest choke job in the history of the program. And we're talking about KU basketball. It goes back, 100 years, and they have never blown a 21-point lead ever in program history. But they did just that against the Baylor Bears on Saturday in Baylor, not to mention two of the starters for Baylor were actually not available in that game, and they still ended up getting torched in the second half. They'll look to bounce back. Also, another interesting fact, Kansas has never lost three games at Fog Allen in a season since the 2000 season. I mean, we're going way back here now, some 25 years ago. That is when the last time we've seen KU be that dysfunctional at Fog Allen. They've already lost two games at home this year. Will tonight be the third? The problem of the matter is they're taking on, or in good news for Kansas, is they're taking on an Iowa State team that, well, they've got their own issues. They are coming off of back-to-back losses, maybe the single worst loss of any supposed top five team that we've seen. How at home you lose to a dysfunctional Kansas State team and not just lose, but get beat up and bullied and shot out of your own gym, kind of head scratching. But that's exactly what we just saw there on Saturday with Iowa State. So back-to-back losses for them. Back, and now we've got Kansas, who's trying to stop the bleeding and salvage the season. Two and a half. We've seen nothing but money coming in on Kansas so far, but it does look like the buyback has begun. I think the best way to approach this game is, oh, I don't know, give me the under. Because when you have two desperate teams like this, the one thing you can always count on is defense. Why? Because defense is all about effort. And I think you're going to get a big effort out of both of these teams here tonight. This could very well be a rock fight instead of some sort of high-scoring shoot 'em out of the gym. Both of these teams have struggled offensively lately. Wouldn't shock me at all if we get a under tonight at Fog Allen. So that is a game we're going to keep an eye on. That's the big marquee matchup of the night. The only other game of interest, of course, was in the ACC. And if you want to summarize what the ACC basketball looks like this year, look no further than Virginia on the road as a 13-point dog taking on Pittsburgh. Yeah, they're winning 34-19 and just about to close out the first half. They are blowing the doors off of Pittsburgh, who again was a 12.5-13 point favorite, because they were supposed to be that next level in the ACC, one of the worst conferences that we have seen in a long time in the ACC this year. When you look at Miami, who, I don't know, somehow managed to win a game this past weekend, which is hilarious. But when you look at Miami, when you look at Virginia, when you look at Syracuse, North Carolina has 10 losses this year so far. The ACC has turned into one of the worst college basketball conferences we have seen. I can't remember the last time the ACC has been this dysfunctional and this bad, even with the blue bloods. If it wasn't for Duke and, dare I say, Clemson, those are the two teams really carrying the conference right now. Pittsburgh was in that middle tier, which is why so much money came in on them today, because they're a bubble team. Virginia, once their coach, Tony Bennett, walked away on the season, that was pretty much told you everything you needed to know about the talent level and what you were going to expect from Virginia. But nobody saw North Carolina being this bad here. Nobody saw Miami being this bad this year. It's just, you've got two teams in the ACC, and that's it. And the team that was supposed to maybe take that next step is Pitt. And they were laying 12.5 to lowly Virginia, and they're getting the doors blown off of them right now as they come to the end of the first half. College basketball, boy, oh boy, it has been a fun ride this year. Everything that is up is down. What's left is what is right. So I am absolutely looking forward to seeing what else this night has to bring for us. And I can tell you this. I can also tell you this here. And I know, because I'm going to get yelled at by Syracuse fans. But trust me, Syracuse fans, Jim Boeheim ain't walking through that door anytime soon. And neither is the quality of basketball that we have grown accustomed from there. I don't know what to make of the ACC. I think it's Duke or bust. Although I do think Clemson is poised to make another run in March Madness. They're worth keeping an eye on. But outside of that, I don't see any team coming from the clouds this year. Sorry, don't see it happening here. It is a disgusting effort by the teams in the ACC, who many people thought was still going to be one of the best college basketball conferences this year. And you're getting anything but quality basketball from the ACC. The SEC, different story. The Big 12, Oh, boy. Houston making its mark, except they finally lost a game at home after 33 straight wins. We'll have more on college basketball and an update in the NBA when Game Time Decisions continues on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri as we look to close out this edition together, and we are getting excited here. Obviously, a huge week from New Orleans leading up to the big game on Sunday, and we will have you covered all week long as we will have live up-to-the-minute information from Radio Row in New Orleans as we get ready for the Chiefs and the Eagles. So many great storylines to look forward to here. We're looking at essentially a pick'em game, pretty high total. So all in all, this should be a great week. And, of course, history is on the line this Sunday with the Kansas City Chiefs. Can they become the first team in, the Super Bowl era to win back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls? It's never been done. And we've had some... think back to some of those great, 49er and Cowboy teams, with the opportunities to just rattle off a whole bunch. But they just, that third one is so hard to get. And yet here they are, the Kansas City Chiefs, looking to do something that has never been done before with a 29-year-old Patrick Mahomes, whose trajectory could be, if you thought you had the GOAT over the last two decades watching Tom Brady, the trajectory here of Patrick Mahomes at this point is through the ceiling. Can they keep it going? Can Patrick Mahomes do something that has never been done in the history of the sport before? And quite honestly, given the opportunity in a three-year period to be able to avenge a loss in this game from a couple of years ago, it's only happened one other time in the history of the NFL, and you'd have to go back to the 90s. I believe it was the Dallas Cowboys and, shocker, the Buffalo Bills were the last two teams to have met twice within a three-year span. And, of course, we all know, Buffalo certainly didn't get the better of the Cowboys. The second go-around, will that change for the Eagles? Will the Eagles be able to get it done and avenge that loss? And I don't, you have to realize too that the Eagles have been very relevant now going on a while. Don't forget, they ended up winning that trophy back in 2017. And who did they beat? Yeah, they beat the GOAT. They beat Tom Brady and the Patriots there with Nick Foles. And they had an opportunity a couple of years ago to get another one. And here they are for a third time in 8 years to be in the big dance. This is, say what you want about the Philadelphia Eagles, but they have certainly steadied this franchise and steadied this ship under Howie Roseman. And they keep getting better and better. And for all of the noise surrounding Jalen Hurts, listen, he had to switch colleges, if you recall, because he wasn't good enough to keep the job at Alabama. So where does he go? He goes to OU. What does he do? Well, he just wins games, right? And that's all he does. And he has done it well here for Philadelphia. And now Jalen Hurts in a second crack at the championship in 3 years. That's pretty darn impressive here. But this team looks a lot different than they did a couple of years ago. Jalen Hurts had a huge game against that Kansas City defense a couple of years ago. But this is more about the running back, is it not? Saquon Barkley. And how many Giant fans are watching this going, come on, Saquon. How many Giant fans do you think are rooting for Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles on this Sunday? I would venture that is an impossible position to be in, right? Do I want to root for Patrick Mahomes again, or do I want the running back that was supposed to be the cornerstone of my franchise until, of course, they decided that he wasn't good enough to play alongside Danny Dimes. And we sent them to our arch rival, our nemesis, the Philadelphia Eagles, who he has basically taken now with a shot at a world championship. My goodness, Giant fans, don't envy you. Me, I'm a Jet fan, so I've already given up on next season, and we haven't even made it to the draft yet. And that is how much I have to look forward to as a New York Jet fan. But the sky could be the limit for the Philadelphia Eagles, and history is on the line with Patrick Mahomes, and we've got you covered all week long here live from Radio Row in New Orleans. We'll have much more all week here on Game Time Decisions. But enjoy the night. Enjoy the games. We'll see you again tomorrow on the grid.